Watson Hall presents. The Perishing of Sir Ashby Phipps. With Jimin Beg as the Game Master.
I was just about to say, should we play a game? And then our GM ran away.
So. I think we all do that when a game is imminent, don't we? If we're GMing and somebody looks keen.
And in other news...
listen to this. I've written down, the last thing I wrote down for this game, possible lead for next session. And then I've written, about which I have no memory,
go on.
Farnby, Barrow and Marrow.
Actually, I...
That's right up there with a smell of petroleum prevails throughout. Cryptic things you have no memory of writing.
Farnby was the friend he had been talking to. I think I'm not sure whether he'd actually been talking to him about the dreams, but he was certainly talking about him in the context of the dreams.
Yeah, he was in the last dream mentioned, wasn't he?
He was mentioned in one of the dreams. You think possibly an old school friend?
And we think he lives locally. Because it was something about come round for tea, or
there was
some suggestion that they were close enough that someone could just pop round.
Or
there we go.
You know, with a warning, it wouldn't be like a day's journey, and they'd have to stay overnight or something. Mm. I think that was the impression we got. Still potentially a way away, and we don't know he's a school friend, but that's looking.
We inferred from context, possibly wrongly. Marrow, I remember there was a Marrow controversy at the fair.
Yes, there's another Marrow controversy
now.
Not
a stronger word.
I've also written down, I made notes, Mrs. Beverly - giant Marrow came out of nowhere.
So, please tell me, how did she die?
I've only drank that much. You can't do this to me this early in the evening.
This is what happens when I make notes.
Sorry,
in the session.
Did we designate you the notekeeper, or is this voluntary?
No, this is voluntary.
No,
that's all right. I feel fine about it then.
It's because
Shim is normally our judicious notekeeper, but as he's
right,
the GM.
Shim, so, how are we doing on these
I'm writing a new scenario on the fly just to cope with it all.
You're always writing a new scenario on the fly.
That's true, yeah.
I've also got Strom
on
the floor.
Wait, that gives me an idea.
We also found an odd fire screen in front of the fire.
We did,
which
an African fire screen.
Southern African. I guess that means sub-Saharan, or even more specific than that.
I think it was South African.
Somewhere in the Cape.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was from the Cape.
From the Cape.
Yeah, we are.
That may be the longest period of dead air.
The Cape of...
We are 30 years early for the Boer War, so... Let's not worry about that.
And on that bombshell...
you were generally inclining towards a theory of...
suicide.
Having died of just a heart attack or apoplexy, as stated, but somehow influenced by dreams, possibly.
Mad dreams.
We were trying...
Brain fever.
He'd been reading about sleepwalking, but that was also mixed in with other dreams. But he had evidently been sleepwalking because he woke up on a bench, seemingly surprised where he was.
And we still haven't talked to the butler, manservant, or whatever he was.
Mm-hmm. Valet.
Yeah. The valet.
Like a valet.
There's
only one way
to
sort this out.
Pistols at dawn, sir.
Yeah.
My valet will bring them.
It's a bloody French word. It's valet.
We don't go around pronouncing words like
that is
French, just the French.
Precisely the reason it's pronounced valet is so that people can't tell it's a French word.
It's like toilet.
It's like Paris. We just say it just to annoy
them. Yeah, there you go. Paris. Like that film, Paris, Texas.
That's also middling. I've no idea why I wrote Barrow as a possible lead. Any ideas? Maybe I just maybe it just
barrow
needed a barrow to carry.
As in wheelbarrow.
No idea. Farnby Barrow Marrow is what I've
written
down. Has
it been buried alongside a magical sword somewhere on the Downs?
I probably it was something beginning with B, and then my brain moved on to Marrow, so I just wrote
possibly.
There was, like I say, the valet was
valet. Maybe you meant to write Bowen, and you got distracted.
Yeah. It's who's, began with what B. Bowen? What?
Yeah, you? Bowen was the
Bowen.
No.
It all made so much sense at the end of last session.
It did.
Bowen
seem
seems likely.
Together.
I think
you,
it's likely that
you intended
I was
to question
something beginning with B, yeah, and my brain.
You intended
yeah,
to question
still
Bowen
still
and the valet. You had been making some effort to track down Madame Gorba, the alleged Persian, alleged fortune teller.
Yes. Well, we need to talk to the vicar.
Yep.
She was at the yes. fete, was she?
Indeed, and spoke for some time to the fortune teller. What else? A brief rare, I think, for Watson Hall at least. On air mea culpa. Obviously. You know, huge schoolboy error here. Obviously, at the May fete, it would be preposterous for there to be a prize marrow competition. Thanks, Gus.
So it must
be. Yeah, it would be a weird time for that.
It must be the harvest festival.
In fact, something
would have had. It would have to be something like a harvest festival.
Extremely unnatural at marrows in May.
Yeah,
is that the way we're supposed to investigate?
That might be.
So that's not a huge clue then.
Yeah,
marrows
probably would be, say, well, the vegetable itself is not a huge clue, I think, is the key point. It might be, for example, some particularly fine asparagus was suggested.
Or early peas, maybe.
It's not quite the same. I mean, you get a giant marrow in there, and it's practically a carry-on film from the
Well, island. Exactly.
The asparagus, it's just, I mean, it just makes your wee smells funny.
Or does it turn it green?
Only if you're Mr. Spock.
May I suggest you make an immediate phone call?
I know. No, I know beetroot turns it red.
You need to have an awful lot of beetroot. I have personally verified this.
it
turns other things red too, but there's about a day's delay.
Do dogs have a problem with beetroot? I know they have a problem with quite a few vegetables.
Maybe we could avoid this tangent and return to the topic.
I was just about to start my lecture
mystery.
On
I know you were,
toxicity.
But that's bonus content for the patrons, obviously.
No, they don't.
I've had a lot of diversions in class today.
Can we just accept that it's not necessarily supposed to have been a marrow, but we'll keep referring it to it as a marrow because you said marrow, and we're not going to be able to get that.
Yeah,
it's a liturgical marrow.
So
we
actually,
are in an alternate universe where marrows grow.
Arctic marrow. There you go. Arctic marrows. There you go.
Yeah.
So in the polar regions.
I imagine they'd be quite small, though.
Well, that's why it's so hard to grow a big one.
That's the impressiveness.
And it turns out it wasn't an Arctic marrow.
Rises majestically from.
Let's move on.
Just
devouring peasants left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should we track down Bowen because he'll be on site, and maybe ask Lady Phipps about the fire screen?
Yep.
We asked the maid about the fire screen,
and that was, and she was like, "Oh, before my time, sir."
Feel up, wasn't it?
No, I'm going to talk to her later when she's off duty. No, she's not rich enough.
Good old erogenous.
She's a maid. Exactly.
So, where to next?
When are you technically a widower? Is it when the widow...
Dead.
When your wife is dead.
Sorry, not widower, the other one. Widow.
Widow.
Like
your widow, when your husband's dead.
I mean, when are you available officially? Is that when they're in
I
the
think
ground
it's
or what?
At least a year.
Victorians, yeah.
Right.
I mean,
he's an impatient man.
They wear black for quite some considerable... veil, I think, for quite some considerable time.
Depends on the family.
Following the Queen, aren't they?
But, you know. It's going to be months,
not even,
minimum.
He's not dead yet, is he? Good old Albo.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Dickens. No, he's not dead either.
Dickens has only got a few years left. You'll be very pleased to hear.
I know when Dickens dies.
Benjamin
every day he appears.
You celebrate it.
I'm imagining
the train crash last year didn't take him out, but no, I know when Dickens.
But you tried. You know, you tried. Damn it!
I don't wish the man any harm, obviously, because he's been dead for like a century and a half. But I just think it was a bit much that he manages to escape from a train crash with his life. That's excellent, good news. But then the fucker goes back in for the manuscript of our mutual friend that he'd left there in the wrecked train, rather than it being consigned to history.
I'd rather a Dickens than a Bronte, personally. That's me. That's me.
I like that little special hand gesture.
The last episode of What's and All.
It developed hand gestures.
I'm going to go and get a beer in the hope that we'll have moved on by the time we get back. Yeah.
Quick, he's gone. Shall right, go, let's do this one.
Shall we go and talk to the valet?
You enter Ladywell Hall.
We enter Ladywell Hall. Hello, nurse.
Kettering is there.
Weren't we already in? I thought we were looking at the fire.
No, yes, we were.
You're right, you're already there.
We're in the
that's why I was thinking we should speak to the staff and so on now. Because we're there.
And we had asked the maid to send us Benson for Hedges or whatever.
Yes. Bowen or will Bowen, or come Bowen, to yeah, sorry, yeah. the library.
He'll tell us what we could have won.
Yes. Sorry, let me just find the page on Bowen. Bowen.
That's my throwing a door.
Good afternoon, sir, madam. I believe you want to speak to me.
Yes, if you don't mind, old man. Come and take a seat.
He sort of gives a portrays some body language as of a person
how to make a servant feel uncomfortable.
Oh God, yes, because I'm a captain and I have an intimate.
Yes, he walks neatly over to seat and says, "Thank you, sir. Very good, sir," and does not sit down.
Okay.
That wasn't a suggestion.
wait. Quick question: are you all sitting down?
The captain is probably striding around
He's definitely not going to sit down.
Oh, he's striding around.
I'm sitting down. I'll sit down and pick up something to read. Oh, Christ, I hope it's not Zane's book.
You're welcome to peruse the portrait of Jack Bowen.
Look at that one.
Drive, which I will post the address of again for you.
I actually think where did I stick it? I've stuck it somewhere. Handouts, there we are.
I usually leave these things open. Which is why I've got 200 tabs on this page.
No.
Same.
But luckily, they all go to sleep except the one I'm working on.
Oh, no, that is a completely
different... Unless he's doing something.
That's a completely different thing, unless Ogre, Hobgoblin, and Grick are... some things that you're going to have in yours.
No,
well,
no.
It sounds like a firm of solicitors. right, where is it?
Who am I looking for? Bowen.
NBC Bowen. Picks Jack Bowen.
Yeah.
There's a bowler hat which strikes me as much above his station.
Yeah, well.
He wouldn't be wearing that, you know, obviously, on during the time.
Indoors.
His moustache is practically American.
He has pretensions to a bowler hat.
It might actually be an American picture. It was surprisingly hard to find pictures of valets that weren't like 20 servants in a heap.
Exactly the same thing I don't know before. So where is his picture?
Where's his picture?
It's
NPC Picks Jack Bowen, it should be.
Yeah, it's not in handouts. NPC Picks is a separate folder.
Oh, okay. That's why I can't find it.
So it's the second link.
NPC picture, aren't
they? Yeah, but I'm on my phone, so...
Let's check out this fix. Right. Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's the rather obvious time traveller, isn't it?
NPC picks, there we go.
Best.
Okay, got it.
No, it's very good.
Yeah.
Although you're right, maybe I think it's the Tash. That's very much it. It's Yeah, it's a bit of a tombstone tash, that one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this is actually a sheriff of some kind, of marshal. Probably Wyatt Earp, yeah.
Well,
look, there's only so many actors within my budget.
That drink is pretty much somebody had heard of raspberry and was trying to recreate it with the aid of a chemistry lab. Only they had to get a certain amount of chalk in to satisfy the sponsors. Talking of the sponsors, if you would like this product not to be named on a future episode of Watson Hall, just say it.
Would it be the blue bottle that you posted pictures of?
This pearl blue.
Mark, don't.
It's supposed to be raspberry and blueberry. I think.
You pour it in the water.
Is the blue just the colour?
I assume it's also the flavour. Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be raspberry, so...
Oh, it says raspberry and blueberry on the back of the bottle.
That is a suspicious...
When it said blue, when I saw it was blue raspberry, I was thinking the only thing I really know is blue raspberry was a slush puppy. And that's not a good model for an alcoholic drink.
Should I return later?
No, you'll stand there and wait until we're bloody ready to talk to you.
Like any good sir, I don't say that.
Bowen, we have some questions about your late master.
I see, sir. I will, of course, answer them to the best of my ability.
Was he prone to sleep?
Oh, when he was asleep, certainly. Oh, sorry.
Impudent. With a bowler hat as well.
When he was found as well, I believe.
we understand he was... Was he going off his rocker a bit?
A somnambulist.
Sure. I mean, no. I mean, you know, I mean, trust me. I mean,
not in a bad way, in a House of Lords way.
Yeah. Eccentric.
I've seen it on campaign, laddie. You know, I mean, it gets pretty nasty, and you know, some people, you know, they was he under a lot of strain?
If I may, I believe what the captain is suggesting is that there may have been an alteration in Sir Ashby's personality, perhaps his general demeanour, as if something was perhaps weighing on his mind, or he was distracted.
Yes, I would not describe Sir Ashby as a...
Leading the witness.
An eccentric gentleman, you understand. Very, very staid and pleasant employer, I must say. Always very gracious.
And any difference towards the end, Barrow? Not Barrow, Merrow. Bowen.
He had been having some trouble sleeping, as I understand it, and complained of some vivid dreams, which were causing him a certain measure of distress.
Well, I think we all suffer from those from time to time.
What?
Perhaps, sorry, I thought you meant some different kind of dream.
I thought you meant about the maid.
Oh, God, he's on again.
Do
we know about Romain by this point?
Had Sir Ashby spoken to a doctor, perhaps? Or was he taking any medication to aid with sleep?
I do not believe so, sir. I don't believe he has been taking any medication. He had spoken to me on the matter to a small extent, of course, and... as far as I'm aware, he appeared physically fit and well, but I did counsel him to consider his diet, of course.
Had he taken to eating anything differently towards the end?
Alas, no.
Just at the bottom, as he used to.
I did recommend Dr. Thornycroft's patent digestive exercises and plasma biscuits, but he was not convinced.
Thank you, Bowen. Now, the somnambulism, was this a frequent occurrence? Was it every time he slept? Was it towards the end?
Okay.
What about the sleepwalking as well?
You're definitely going to get a kind of, I didn't say anything about sleepwalking, sort of look.
So he didn't sleepwalk?
That is to say,
what my ugly friend is trying to say is that obviously this is not a matter that need go any further. But there is some concern over the health, not only of Sir Ashby, but potentially of other people in the house, and therefore the.
I see.
As you know, we are working
for the maximum decorum.
We are working directly for Her Ladyship.
Discretion is my middle name, Mr.
No, it isn't.
No.
It's Ernest.
In fact. Sir Ashby was particularly wishful that the matter not be mentioned to Lady Phipps. She's,
of course,
might be concerned.
I mean, she's concerned now. He's dying. So. Sorry.
Precisely. Yes,
carry on.
Yes.
Too soon.
I believe it was the 12th of May. I was woken by some noise in the corridor and. Of course, dressed and came to investigate. I found Sir Ashby had made his way into the garden in his nightwear.
Goodness me!
And was rather disconcerted by the experience.
Can't say I blame him.
He said he had been dreaming of exploring a city in a jungle of some kind.
That was in the notes, wasn't it, in his journal? Yes.
And now, was that the only time, or had there been other instances of that?
To the best of my knowledge, sir, that was the only incident. If there were others, I was not aware of them.
Okay.
But of course, if he were to walk about the premises rather than leaving the house, I might well not have been aware of it.
Did he take to the foreign habit of napping, I believe they called it, in the day? Or was he strictly a by-the-night kind of fellow?
In the daytime, no, I don't believe the sort of Spanish habit had been adopted here.
I see.
Of course, after dinner, a small digestive rest was not uncommon, I believe.
Well, one has to let the food go down.
Precisely, sir. Precisely.
I see. Okay, and he was disturbed by the incident.
He seemed rather alarmed and somewhat disturbed by.
Did you find
finding
him
himself
asleep?
In, of course, embarrassed.
Of course, who wouldn't be?
I had to cough several times before he came to himself. Of course, I didn't wish to risk waking him.
Then why did you cough? I mean, if you had,
I thought that probably wouldn't count.
Presumably, I see.
You hoping to wake
such
him
a familiar sound?
Precisely, sir.
Did he? So did he seem whilst he was asleep? Was he moving when you saw him? He was just asleep.
He was walking about. I suppose, as one might at the botanical gardens or some such place, or perhaps a gallery,
I see.
Museum, strolling and looking. He may have been murmuring to himself, but nothing that I caught, sir.
Interesting. Oh, pity.
And gesturing to some extent, as though perhaps touching some exhibit or some such thing.
Perhaps
moving a vine or a serpent.
As if he was walking with someone, perhaps talking to them, or more in the manner of someone remarking to himself.
I would say he didn't. appear to have a companion, sir.
Serpent in the garden, I see. That was a biblical reference. I was trying to sound cryptic, but didn't work. So
it generally doesn't when you explain the reference afterwards. No.
Well, I've heard never apologise, never explain. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yes, but the chap who's going to say that hasn't been born yet. So,
well, I've heard it said by. Never mind.
If you wish to know more about his diet, I believe the cook might be able to tell you something. I believe Sir Ashby had been taking some notes, perhaps in his commonplace book.
Oh, excellent. Well,
is that the one we've already seen pinched and spent?
You've seen a notebook?
Ixnay on the kind of play.
You said he was moving a vine, or
Are you still in the library? Because the notebook that has pages torn out for is there. You can kind of go, was it this one?
I'm quite possibly leafing through it right now.
Yeah, sir. A slim volume.
Well, this is slimmer than it was.
So big.
Whereabouts would that be?
Perhaps in his room, sir.
Could you do the hand gestures he was doing to suggest a vine or a serpent? I'm just
interested. Perhaps passing through a curtain or some such thing.
Ah, like from the 70s, I see. The 1870s. We're not in the
1870s. I say.
Still the future. Yes, like passing through a veil, which was... thinking ahead for him, wasn't it?
Thank
you, Barney.
Bowen.
Thank you,
sir.
Bowen.
If you would care to see Sir Ashby's room, sir, of course, disposal.
Oh, yes, I think.
Oh, go on then. Yes, please.
Yep.
Yeah, show us where he put his head.
No doubt.
Or rocked it again and had a wander around from it.
So he can take you up to, you've got the floor plan, he can take you up to Sir Ashby's room. For those of you who know what a room of a man of his social class would look like, it looks like that. It's, you know, nothing obviously weird. There's a, sort of tester bed, dressing table, cabinet, bookshelf, some portraits, fireplace, a few books, not loads. Some nice William Morris trellis wallpaper.
Oh, hey. Lovely,
Prof. There's another bookshelf there. You can put your book there as well.
I'm hardly the kind, I'll say, slipping a novel out of my out of my jacket to really deposit a book everywhere. But if you know, as you suggested, something I might as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't sign it, it'll be more valuable that way.
The other books on the shelf are some sort of, I suppose, romance than, modern style romance. A bit of poetry, some. Travel books seem to have been something he read quite a bit of. Bible, obviously.
How I trekked across Africa with a broken leg.
Yeah, exactly. Portraits are both of
nothing
ancestral Phippses.
Out of the ordinary.
Right.
Okay. Where's this commonplace book then, Barney?
Bowen.
Bowen. Jim Bowen, come on.
Yeah.
Can I, next time we speak to him, I know you're going to call him Jim by mistake.
If you, it's not immediately obvious, but if you want to spend a little time poking around, it's not something Bowen needed.
It sounds bloody hidden.
Yeah. It's not something Bowen needed to do anything with, so he doesn't precisely know. But yeah, you'll find it in the, one of the bedside cabinets.
Where is its existence?
Of course.
Right, well, let's have a look and
if it happens
this.
To be lying around some accessible place, of course, you know, a valet might considerately glance at it, put it away, take copious notes,
draw a cock and balls in it, and
look for names of any mistresses. No, yep. Yeah. Are you
his daily search for illicit etchings?
Book, Sir Ashby's commonplace book.
Can you link to the?
Yes.
I can do that.
I already have.
You can just go up a level.
It's called
Sir Ashby's Commonplace
Book. Sir Ashby's Commonplace Book. Notebooks are separate from handouts.
They're in a separate.
In the same folder. The naming system involves book.
I see. That's
damn clever, isn't it?
It's only because I
put
about it.
It's because I put too many damn handouts in it.
Imagine, Tim.
Well, you start putting, you know, handout 53. Some people might start saying one has gone too far.
Maybe create another folder.
It's a bit swish.
Oh,
Sir Ashby's commonplace book. This small moleskin book is kept near Sir Ashby's bed and used to record late night thoughts. Not Zane's late night thoughts. What normal people have.
They should not be recorded.
Most of these are reminders to himself about domestic or business matters to be dealt with in the morning. Interspersed with them are fragments describing his dreams.
Go on then. What's he been dreaming about?
In the past 3 weeks, Sir Ashby seems to have dreamed vividly and often. At least one dream is recorded each
night. Did you say orphan?
Orphan?
Where does an orphan come into?
No, like, often. One often has dreams now. At least one dream, it made me go very posh now. At least one dream is recorded each night. And some comments...
It's the Queen!
Daydream or afternoon dips. Before that time... Mentions of dreams are scarce and the details sketchy. He reports with some embarrassment that he has begun sleepwalking.
It was getting more and more Scottish at that point.
I'll hand over to another.
I thought it was sort of turning into Stinker Murdoch by the end.
Read more.
Oh, right, sorry. The dreams are an odd mixture of the mundane and fantastical. In some cases, Sir Ashby simply reports chatting in a respectable drawing room, striding across the countryside, or standing in a town, watching the world go by. Despite this, most become increasingly strange in the normal way of dreams, and sometimes threatening. He reports a daydream of entertaining a clergyman to tea, tried to steal his body, came to himself rolling on the library carpet, attempting to throttle the sinister figure, and is only glad that nobody was nearby. He's a loony.
Other dreams are more exotic. What? He reports expeditions to fabulous temples, tropical landscapes, and travelling on a storm-tossed ship named the Birkenhead.
Luxury.
Birkenhead.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody's had a go.
Okay. Right. Most were enjoyable, though on one occasion he had to hide in a tree from a band of strange tribesmen. Embarrassingly.
While on a boat?
I'm guessing that was more when he was on the when he was wandering to the fabulous temple.
If he was anywhere near Birkenhead, he would have to hide in a tree from strange tribesmen.
They can't afford trees, though.
Well, they don't have trees in Birkenhead. Might be able to climb up a lamppost, I guess. Embarrassingly, his valet discovered him wandering in the garden one night as he dreamed of exploring a huge jungle city full of ruinous pyramids.
Pyramids.
Thankfully, Bowen is discreet and faithful.
So, he was, choking the bishop at one point, did we say?
Well, no, the bishop.
That's a specified rank.
Clergyman.
Is there a local?
He was entertaining a clergyman to tea. That was a daydream.
Who of us could not say we've choked our supervising bishop? I mean, really.
You know of at least two local clergymen.
Now, we know a little of occult matters. Have we ever heard of such a kind of occurrence? Well, some kind of ritual of a body swapping, I'm just going to say out loud, as we're a cult investigator?
Okay,
that would
certainly.
That would be an interesting thing.
That would be an ecumenical matter.
It would be an interesting thing if we spoke to the local clergyman and it turned out one of them had got a dream where Sir Ashby Phipps was trying to kill him.
Well, it would just, if we know that, you know, it is possible to swap bodies, and then we read that in a dream, that may ring a ding ding a bit more than a, you know, dong.
Okay. What's your occult skill?
What's my occult skill, you ask? Why? A mere 70.
Okay, well, you'll be the one making the roll then.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it a cult or is it something else?
You can certainly roll a cult.
A cult. I don't think I've rolled less than 70 in the last session, so... Oh, 68. I
have... Oh, it's a whole new day!
I have passed my account.
Just.
Ticket, man, ticket for the love of
you
God.
You have... You will certainly, you know, with your knowledge of both sort of established and relatively novel, you know, more psychic occult matters...
Made up.
You have... certainly encountered the concept of you know, psychic invasion of persons attempting to take over one's body and control it, or perhaps even displace one.
So I just, if it's possible that rather than dreams these were memories while something else inhabited his body, perhaps that's fantastical. But
perhaps that's what he was running away from in the garden.
Or a memory.
Does anyone sort of be or archaeology?
That's a bit...
Archaeology?
Anthropology or archaeology?
I've got anthropology.
Yeah, so yeah.
I've got that at 30. You call this archaeology?
I've never so much
40.
As dug a hole or seen a trowel, apparently.
And since I read Roll 39, that difference is important.
I have got 20 under 30. So
obviously, tick if you have succeeded.
Somehow I've already got anthropology ticked, but there we go. I have no memory of that. But.
Distinct descriptions of things. You know, you've got these pyramids, from description, like steps. There was the thing in the other book, in the notebook that you found about what was clearly a giant anteater. There is a... The exotic dreams are... is your instinct.
Now, he does have all these travel books, or some travel books by his bed. I'll just flip through, see if there's any mentions of exotic pyramids.
Was
anteaters.
He a traveller? I thought we'd established that he
hadn't
been to Africa.
No, he barely went anywhere.
But he'd been anywhere. Right.
But he could have rubbed up the old book... Yes.
Well, it could be that some disorder of the mind, it just led all these things that he'd read, so, that have come back to him.
Well, that's the simple explanation, Benjamin.
Anything...
Well, I'm a simple man, prof.
Why does everyone say prof in inverted commas around here?
Can't imagine it.
I posit are that there perhaps any... there was some body interchange going on. And
is there
the
anything
kind.
Else African... In this room, in the way that there was
Nubian lady, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I would have noticed a Nubian.
Yes, you would. You filthy swine!
Not rich enough.
No, I mean the closest other thing is, you know, there's a copy of Arabian Nights. That's about as far as it goes.
So, in the travel book, are they anything? Do they open any page that is anything like anything in the dreams? It's a long shot, but if he was
how long would you like to spend looking at these?
Studying.
How long are you willing to, you know, indulge
this? Well, to begin with,
I need about 30 seconds, honestly.
Let's have a look if he's got any, you know, marks, notes,
folded over pages.
You do know he's
powder.
a piece of bacon
used as a bookmark.
That he's a dogger, as you have established.
We do know he's into dogging. Yes.
I'd forgotten
that basically I'd lost all respect for the man.
He probably breaks the spines as well. Gets a new book and does that. Thank God paperbacks haven't been invented yet.
Has
he dogged any of these pages?
Yeah, there'll be quite a few throughout. Basically, any of the books that he's read, which is, you know, this is his bedroom. So if you want that to blend in, you need to fold some pages over.
I can't.
That
would be an act of personal vandalism.
Let me, Erogenous, I'll dog them for you.
Well, I'm not averse to it. So. Not with people watching.
You can look through. There's a couple of books which have sections about, you know, being a diplomat in, you know,
Borneo,
Addis Ababa,
somewhere in South America. I don't know what things were called at that time. Brazil, probably.
Foreign.
Foreign parts, South Africa. There's nothing about. Well, there's definitely those, but you were asking about South America.
But Central and South America, anyone who was referred to it as the Orient was very likely navigating for Christopher Columbus.
I think there was a time when the Orient meant just abroad. It certainly encompassed the Middle East.
Well, yes, it means it sort of mostly everywhere else, but not usually in that direction.
East of the important stuff.
Yeah. But no, there's nothing, you know, there's some mentions of things which tie, you know, which sound vaguely similar to the descriptions you're hearing, but
pyramids and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's not really even that. It's more about, you know, people talking about, you know, the heat, the, you know, passing through a bit of jungles, you know, some tropical thing,
so
the sky, you know. There's no scenes that you are seeing here repeated.
There we are, you see, not an anteater in sight. And yet this staid, dull, unimaginative man managed to conjure up almost perfect image of an anteater,
well,
pyramids.
This is when his pet giant anteater shuffles into the room.
With a pyramid on its back.
Did you have any questions, sir? Don't mind me. Just got to get it at the corners there, sir.
I think maybe we should talk to some clergy.
It's turned into the Flintstones. Steaming jungles, disease. Birkenhead sounds like an absolute. Right. So we know he read a lot. Could have fed a fevered imagination. It would be interesting to follow up the idea of the throttled clergyman.
Did he mention which vicar? He just says.
Clergyman.
Just for the clergyman.
A clergyman, yeah.
Yeah.
Did it sound like he knew the clergyman?
Do you get throttled a lot, Reverend?
every bloody Sunday.
rarely a part of my pastoral duties.
Yeah. Bit odd, isn't it?
I suppose we should speak to the local clergy anyway.
Well, don't we need to talk to the local vicar about that exotic lady he hired.
Hmm.
Have there been Bowen? Yes, I remembered. Bowen still here?
Yes.
Any visitors to the Sir Ashby in the last 3 weeks? Should we say?
Oh, of course.
Oh, well, I'd like to extend it to 6 weeks. Let's go, Matt.
Brilliant. I'm sure he's delighted that you've decided to double the amount of visitors that he needs to bring to mind.
Travelling salesman? Clergyman?
No, a travelling salesman would not speak to Sir Ashby, sir.
How about religious types?
The vicar, the curate, of course.
Any from out of town? Any...
The bishop? Vicars.
Yeah, the bishop attended for a quiet dinner.
And how long ago was that?
Was it a bit of a bash?
So. Come on.
A very staid gentleman, sir.
Everyone's staid.
Just,
no. Sir Ashby.
Let's just check.
The bishop is a man of...
Enormous marrows.
Yeah, so it has been said, sir. Rebel disguised.
Exotic taste.
I'll have a look at the commonplace book and check the date of the approximate date of the bishop's visit with, if there is a date on it, mention of that throttling incident, the religious wrestling.
No, it's about a week out.
Before or after?
The dream is after.
Yeah, you're talking of topless non-mud wrestling.
Okay. I'm not.
Different dream.
Okay, right. In a respectable drawing room, so not his. I continue to posit that these are not dreams, but...
But then that's why we need to speak to... Well, if I may suggest that Reverend Spencer is ideally placed and indeed far better suited in terms of his knowledge to speak to
the clergy. Professionals.
There's always that bit of, what do the Catholics call it? Confessional thing of talking to a priest, isn't it? So it could be
that's the other side.
Yes, and I believe they are bound not to reveal anything.
Ah, yes, but confession. But C of E, you can blab it 15 ways to Sunday, can't you, Frederick?
But we try not to hear it in the first place.
Ah.
Most people know that because they can blab it 15 ways to Sunday, they're not really a very reliable person to mention it to in the first place. It's funny how that happens.
Doesn't half save having to turn up in court. So I've heard.
And yet, here we are.
Again.
All right, well, let's put our thinking caps on and decide sort of where we are from the clues and things we've got at the moment then, where we moved on to. We need to speak to the vicar and establish who else in the area might have been a vicar who was around.
We need to talk to Lady Phelps about the... in fact, actually, Bowen might know, because he's been with them for longer, about the fire...
Fire guard,
that's it.
Yes, we were taking that. It was a gift from someone, wasn't it?
In the library, sir. Yes, this is a gift from the Colonel, I believe.
The Colonel?
Colonel Farnby.
Farnby again.
This name keeps cropping up. Guilty, yes, Your Honour.
A very close old friend of Sir Ashby's.
Did they go to school together by any chance?
I believe they may have done so, yes.
Oh, yes. Yep.
And may I ask, does the Colonel live locally?
Oh, yes. Within a mile of the house, yes.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Yes, well, he was a frequent visitor.
Perhaps we should speak to him at some point.
I'm sure he'll have somebody
we need to go to. When are we best tackling the clergy? What date is... When I say tackling, I don't mean in the way that Sir Ashby thinks he did. I'm not actually going to go and tackle the clergy.
Still Saturday I believe.
It's Saturday, so we should probably do something today rather than, say, popping around in the morning. As I understand, they can be quite busy.
Being tackled on a Saturday when we're spending a pleasant afternoon with a brandy writing tomorrow's sermon.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe now is a good time. Yes, okay. Well, let's...
They might welcome the inspiration.
Was he...
possibly a bottle.
A frequent... Oh, that's... I don't know.
Frequent flyer?
Frequent church guy. I mean, obviously he was, but did he...
Was he pious?
Was he pious?
Did his habits change recently? Was there any... did his illness, shall we say, affect his church going?
No, sir. No, I don't believe so at all. He attended, as always, for a judicious period. Not one to... I believe he... enjoyed the post the conversation after the service was perhaps the highlight.
I mean. The conversation after the service, exactly.
Was perhaps the highlight for Sir Ashby, but he was a dutiful man. Not zealous.
I don't mean to be rude, but he sounds like possibly the dullest man alive.
Possibly. Comment.
Well,
well.
You should say yes, that. Mr. Edgar Jacobs of Northampton is now the dullest man alive, and therefore our main suspect.
All right,
in company priest. Or with alone in speaking to myself, for example. So he could be a very good-humoured man, entertaining. Well, he was perhaps a little diffident in company.
Boring.
Enjoyed,
but certainly,
the quiet
even if
life.
He, even if he would rather not have done,
Danny,
he
Danny didn't do anything.
He did quite clearly. He was diligent in his duties as the.
Sorry.
Well, of course, so yes.
Oh, that's all right.
There was nearly another animal-related incident, but it's fine.
It doesn't have to be a weekly thing, you know.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be. It just seems to be. Anyway.
Right, okay.
I mean, I wouldn't mind going to see the old colonel.
Yep.
Do we know what regiment he bought into?
He bought what? Into? Maybe he earned his way into the... Oh, I don't really understand how these regiments work.
That's the navy you're thinking of.
You know... you looked him up. You know, most recently he was in the Cape Corps. Some point, possibly by now, I'm not sure, becomes the Cape Mounted Rifleman.
Before that,
83rd of Foot.
Oh, yes. Stationed in
South Africa.
South Africa.
And
it's not pronounced like that yet, I believe.
Of the African doodad.
Mm-hmm.
Source the
afternoon.
Well, that all seems to check out.
Well, could we send a note on to Farnby that we'd like to descend upon it? Would that be the polite thing to do? Rather than all turning up on his doorstep? We could say we're going to pop round after, you know.
Maybe say that we'll pop round to him tomorrow and we'll go see the vicar today.
After the necessary religious indoctrination that we all must bear in this country once a week and no more. Sorry,
you'll be saying next you don't say your prayers at bedtime, lad.
I certainly get on my knees at bedtime. But,
yeah, see, he was a boarding school lad. Always said his prayers.
Belts off, trousers down.
Did you go to my school? Okay, well, let's pop up the old cassock. Sounds like.
Yep. So, are you going over to see the vicar, the curate, both?
Well, let's send a note to Farnby that we'd be interested in meeting up tomorrow at a location of his,
of course,
choosing.
And then I think just stroll up to the rectory and see who we meet first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If we could go there, otherwise, if he could recommend a tea room, he might.
To be honest, I don't think I've specified where. The curate probably is living in their spare room at the rectory, I suspect.
All right.
So, yeah.
Presumably it's one of those rectories where there's about 15 bedrooms. And...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Lead on, Reverend Spencer.
Not counting the ones that have been lost to mice. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. You attend. Keeper will answer the door. It's a nice garden. Obviously, taking good care of the garden.
Marrows?
No sign of marrows. No, perhaps some asparagus.
A suspicious lack of marrows. I'll make a note in my diary.
Yes. Hello.
I might write that just.
Good
to
afternoon,
see what
ladies
I make
and gentlemen.
Of it next week.
Would you be wishful?
If he's not too busy, I'm just a social call, you know.
Are you in the get-up? I assume you usually are.
Yeah.
Get up.
He'll have a dog collar on.
That's what they call it.
Yeah. Are you visibly ecclesiastical, I think, is the,
yes,
the point. Yes.
I think I would have to make a disguise roll not to be at this point in my life.
The Church of England visibly ecclesiastical.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's one of the, particularly around this part, it's one of the main perks. If people don't know that you're actually in the church, and therefore probably the youngest son of the family, then, you know, what's the point?
Yeah. I've just had a sudden thought. What did they actually use for the white bit in the dog collar? Because it's before fairy liquid bottles.
The
celluloid,
eyes of a Cuban virgin.
They had servants. So
they
the
had
fact
bleach.
That, the fact that somebody might have had to, you know, wear the flesh from their fingers right down to the bone to get something white, not a problem.
That's what you pay them very small amounts of money for.
Do you weigh on stuff?
No. They use bleach.
Generally, not on Vickers, no. I don't know what you think
not,
of it.
Not if the master is popular.
To wash things, I mean.
After the criticism of last week's sermon, I have brought an umbrella.
You are shown into the parlour.
I don't know who's actually going there, because I don't think we should all pile
Reverend
in, so I'm staying
is.
Away. I'm going for a drink.
Is anyone going with Reverend Spencer?
I'm not going to turn down anybody who wants to come along.
I'll come along.
Oh,
well said, Roger. Well done there.
Oh, I feel the captain should come along just to basically be the comic relief and nothing else.
If Mr. Zane says anything, do sit on him.
Oh,
I should
behave, the prof's a good egg at heart. I will grab you
the
and
captain's
give you.
One of these people that believes everyone is a good egg until they've actually been caught with a knife in their head. I'm giving you
He'll give them a second chance, you know. Apart from when he shot them, obviously.
Well, if they're foreigners.
If he thinks that you've been guilty of cowardice, then I'm afraid that's summary execution.
Another ecclesiastical gentleman enters the picture. Sort of punctilious looking, slender, has a sort of headmasterly vibe.
Do we have a picture?
Good afternoon. I do not have a picture. There's too many characters for me to have pictures of all of them. It's hard to find.
Spencer, Little Netheringhampton, just in the area. Thought I'd drop in and say hello. You know,
charmed. Wallace. Sit down. Sir? Yes, delighted to meet your acquaintance.
General introductions.
Yes.
Zane.
And of course, Zane. Captain Newman.
Newman, Hampshire Newmans?
They're a branch, I believe.
Yes. I think I know, perhaps know a cousin of yours. Yes.
Has he come out of prison yet?
Regrettably, I believe he is still at Her Majesty's disposal.
Ah.
But
we'll dispose of him, surely.
We maintain good hopes. Good hopes. Yeah. Well, it's we have too many visitors here. Tea, please. Yes.
That'll be fantastic.
Have you simply come to see the village? Are you visiting?
We're visiting. But on a rather delicate matter, don't you know? Bit the old hush hush, and he taps his nose in a way that people have tapped their nose at him on several occasions, saying, "For the love of God, keep it quiet."
He doesn't know what it means. Knowledge is power, Francis Bacon.
He's clearly getting Pride and Prejudice vibes.
The matter of the late squire.
A very unfortunate matter. Certainly, I was not aware of any
delicacies in this situation.
Well, we hope that may continue to be the case. So you didn't particularly see him before the incident?
Perhaps a week or two beforehand. That Sunday. But
he seemed really quite normal to you then?
Yes. Perhaps a little abstracted, but always friendly, always in good, reasonable humour, I would say.
A good egg all round.
Yes, it was a shock. He was a very reliable man. Great loss. I hope his son will turn out as well.
Well, he's got a son.
Yeah, his son's in Italy on a walking holiday.
Not doing the grand tour, if you recall.
No. So he didn't confide in you that he was losing his marbles or anything like that.
Well, what my learned friend means to say is that he may have some concerns over
the
his,
man you're relying on to keep Zane under control.
We were certainly on good terms. I wouldn't not intimate friends. He perhaps would not have told me. Of course, he had concerns of a spiritual matter, but as far as I'm aware, nothing of the kind.
Okay, so if he wouldn't have confided in you, who would he have confided in? Did he have one special chum?
Most likely the Colonel, Farnby.
I'm going to have a close look at the neck of this religious type.
Yeah.
Any colour? Damage?
Obviously throttled.
I can see past the car. the man below.
Yeah, No more obviously throttled than any other clergyman whose neck you've inspected.
Those are quite obviously throttled. Okay, all right. That's all I'm doing. I'm quietly eyeing up his neck.
Yeah.
So one of the matters,
a slight grin on my neck.
One of the matters that did mildly concern us, we don't wish to know that, is the matter of the fate of you a month or so ago. This Persian fortune teller does seem to have had a profound effect on a number of people.
Really? Interesting.
I wonder if you know anything about where she might have come from.
Chalmers, my curate. I believe Chalmers was responsible. He arranged some person that he knew to
Madame
visit.
Madame Gorba? Do you know if that was her real name?
Gorba, I would imagine not. That does not sound particularly Persian to my... but I'm not precisely a scholar of those matters, but I imagine it was an imposture of some sort.
I see.
Could you ask Mr. Chalmers to step down from his study? Thank you. I'm sure he'll be with us in a few minutes. He can explain a bit. The young man is staying with me. It's rather a large house for an old widower like myself.
Oh, he's on his own, is he? Hey.
Just him, the housekeeper, the maids, the gardener.
Well, they don't care, do they?
Yeah. There'll be a couple of, pictures of some presumably now adult children. You chat a little. The curate appears in the NPC things. This is Lawrence Chalmers, JPEG. No, PNG. My apologies.
All right, so I'm not quite sure what merit that is that he's achieved.
Could someone share for Prince
of the New Goblins? Whilst he enters the room, I shall excuse myself and ask the maid for the... location of the nearest water toilet.
Yes, closet.
Thank you.
Of course.
When she's
the good old Teabach.
When she's pointed in that direction, I'll sneak upstairs and break into Chalmers' room.
Okay.
Search it.
Yep. Yep. She goes back to the kitchen.
I'll sneak up to Chalmers' room.
Good afternoon.
How do you?
Visitors. Delighted. Chalmers.
Little Leatheringhampton.
Delighted to talk, of course. I see. Just the curate myself. I've not been here long. Reverend Wallace is taking care of me.
Jolly good. Young curate once myself.
they
both.
What japes you got up to, eh?
Yes, Cambridge man.
Yeah, of course.
Good. Myself as well. Yes.
Those are the days, dabbling in transfer situation.
Absolutely. sits down, you know, tugs his trouser legs.
Thank you.
Still further south than I was really comfortable with. But
what, were you hoping for a forelock?
I was hoping for a forelock.
Yeah. Oh, no. Just,
I don't think he's got a forelock.
His jacket.
No forelock there.
Bad enough.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah.
You can't ruin the crease.
One shouldn't crease one's forelock. I'm breaking.
Anyway,
charming to have some company.
It's all rather delicate. I'm sure you understand the matter of Sir Ashby. There may have been matters that caused him some distress. I wonder if you could tell me about this fortune teller.
Does someone want to make an insight roll?
I'm not there.
So the glass in his hand shatters.
I should have put 1% rather than 3d6.
He hurls himself bodily out of the window.
A success, but not by anything special.
I'm going to see if I would have made it.
Yeah. So it was a knowing glimmer.
Oh, I was 5 over my 10.
Acquaintance of mine. I arrange things. Always good to have a bit of entertainment to these sort of things. The locals enjoy it. Don't consider it a theological issue myself. You know, all in the best possible taste.
Absolutely. I just wonder if we could have a chat with this person.
Perhaps. Is this connected? You said you were Sir Ashby was concerned.
It's simply a matter of understanding his state of mind at the time of the unfortunate incident, and obviously she would not be in any difficulty in that matter. But it would help us to clear up a few things and avoid untoward questioning elsewhere.
I'm sure she would be wishful to avoid anything of sort. I'm sure she wouldn't have said anything.
It's such a shame when these things have to get official attention after all.
I don't need
a psychology role to see he's one sentence away from screaming, "We didn't burn her!"
certainly try to a couple of glances at the Reverend. Try to arrange something. See if she was available. She might have left the area now, of course.
Oh, that would be most useful. Well, most useful.
I'm sure it.
How did you ever get to know the lassie anyway?
You know
how it goes.
Ah, I see.
It's the old story.
I did say Cambridge after all.
Ah, yeah. So it was one of your mates dressed up in ladies.
Something of that sort. Yes. Yeah. Oh, very, very tastefully done, of course.
Of course.
Right. Yes, understand. Yes. So Was it one of your Cambridge chums, was it?
In a manner of speaking, yes.
I see. Yes, that's
you must understand. You quite know, I mean, you know, when we're off,
it's quite clear to me.
When we're off on manoeuvres in the army.
I feel like I know the direction this is going here.
I will say that awkwardness can actually be lethal in Victorian England.
I'm sure he's got.
Michael, you can tell that story to the public bar later. Not the saloon bar, the public bar.
Perfectly innocent having a chum.
Look, the thing is, you know, when I was at Cambridge, you know, it's all in good fun, some entertainment for the for the fellows.
Absolutely, I mean, there's no harm in it as long as you don't make hours of it and go roaming after all.
Oh no, of course. Well, so I thought, you know, spice things up a bit, you know, dash of boot polish, a few towels, you know, that sort of thing,
I
thought he was doing the new recruit thing with the book. Ah, no, right. No, he's putting on his face, was it?
Was it you who was the?
I must confess. Yes, I am. I am the elusive man Gorba. Sorry, reference, but
I mean, it's from the sounds of it. You were. You took in the populace. You hoodwinked them all.
I do pride myself on my
pride. Isn't that a sin?
You raise a good theological point, Captain. People have moved around. Sir. Captain.
I'm actually, my British senses are coming into play, and I'm actually feeling genuinely uncomfortable that you're so embarrassed.
So
you spoke to the squire then?
Oh yes, only about the second or third time I'd had a chance to chat with the gentleman. Very genial fellow. Rather slipped up there, must confess. More noused to him than I expected, and he saw through me.
So he knew you straight away then, did he?
I may have dropped a Latin phrase into my cryptic ramblings at some point, and he cottoned on.
All the best Persians speak Latin, really.
Yes. You know, sort of peered up at me and said, "You're that curate, aren't you?" Honour in an honourable surrender to the inevitable and all that.
Curator.
So what did you have a little chinwag about then?
There was a certain degree of rebuke, very, very good humoured. He was amused, I would say, on the whole. I thought he should mention that perhaps not everyone in the village would have quite such a large-minded attitude to these things as the Cambridge student population. He had quite the interest in amateur theatricals himself. Turned out we had a certain amount of a discussion about that for a while, and asked, you know, how I was enjoying the village, and all very pleasant, 5-10 minutes perhaps.
Did you talk about dreams at all?
Obviously one hopes to land a vicarage of one's own at some point, but...
Specifically in the sense of nocturnal experiences.
Well, that couldn't be misconstrued at all, could it?
No, I don't believe we did, no. No, as I said, if if he was disquieted by something, I really don't think there's anything in our conversation. It was all very pretty jolly, really. Oh. Yeah, I was most upset to hear about Sir Ashby's passing. Yeah, it seemed like a charming fella.
Curious, sir. So there goes one of the captain's ideas, that basically she put this was some gypsy lady and she put a spell on him.
It was a cure. What's in his room? Anything dodgy? Blackmailable?
And nothing dodgy than any other young clergyman.
Oh, you should have brought a bag.
Yeah, definitely blackmailable then. Perfect.
There's definitely some things that would cause a certain amount of tutting from some of the more conservative parishioners, but
nothing obviously spish. You
know. No, you know, curvy daggers,
pentagrams,
bloody corpses, you know, nothing like that.
Fishnet stockings,
maybe one or two. Okay. Don't think they have fishnet in those days. Maybe a petticoat.
Oh, stop it!
Yeah, actually, to be fair, there probably is a Madame Gorb outfit.
I won't.
It's got to be somewhere.
behind the bit of the false wardrobe.
I know it's going to be tempting, but don't go downstairs wearing it.
I suppose I could leave. The problem with leaving a novel of mine in his bookcases, it might be quite obvious.
He doesn't know.
I'll resist the urge to drop lift, and I'll head back downstairs.
Done his weekly of his day.
I think it was the marrow.
What makes you?
I think it was the problem with the marrow.
Dreams, we've still got to check out Farnaby.
Yeah, we do.
And also,
what leads you to ask about dreams reference?
There's some sign of his mind being disturbed in the time leading up to the unfortunate incident. Did either of you notice anything in the way of unusual behaviour? I gather not, but even something trivial might be of relevance. There's some concern that this might be something that would affect other inhabitants of the house.
Anything unusual? There is the asylum. Of course, I'm rather extreme, but I believe the doctor there is a very respectable scholar, might have some more. I'm sure pays keen attention to these matters. And would, of course, hear from the local medical fellows, or the doctor, of course, Sir Ashby's doctor.
Mm. So who was that? That was Dr. Weston.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah. What was it? Dreams? Sir Ashby having nightmares of some kind?
I can't really confide, of course, any details, but not so disturbing so much as unexpected.
Huh. Well, yes.
Vivid, perhaps, I might say.
Gosh, some sort of
likely
spiritual disturbance. Rings a bell. Nightmares. What was that? I'm sure I read something. What was that? Probably wasn't important anyway.
Go on.
Any ideas would be gratefully.
It was a ship of some kind, I think. Played by nightmares.
Would it be the Birkenhead by any chance?
Birkenhead, yeah. Have you read it? Quite a decent tome. I mean, obviously, nonsense, obviously, but it's quite.
Do you have a copy?
It's Might still have one in my room.
No, he hasn't.
I'll go and have a look.
Apologies, sorry about that. Rather too much tea. Did I miss anything?
And you would be Chalmers.
Oh, Zane, Professor Erasmus. No, that's not my name. Professor Zane. Have you heard of me, Chalmers?
The Professor Zane.
Are there more?
Oh. 03. He knows who you are. He's probably. Has he been to one of your
spiritualist fellow? Yes.
He's probably been to one of your readings.
Yes, I'm the one who enticed the banshee from Accrington Rectory.
Accrington Banshee.
That is my bestseller.
I'm sure, believe that. I've seen some of your stuff.
Could you not think of a place in Ireland?
Accrington Banshee.
What's wrong? Are they not allowed to have banshees?
Exactly.
On the Wirral.
Yeah. Don't see why not. It's full of Irish people.
Racist.
Full of Irish people.
They can have banshees anywhere.
I think we might entice more people in with an episode title like the Accrington Banshee. They might think there's something involved in it.
It's already evolving.
Oh, you're familiar with my the work, Mr. Chalmers.
Yeah, I believe so. Don't really hold that sort of thing myself. But I mean,
your work has a spiritual aspect to it.
Of course, yes. Oh, of course, spiritual aspects. I mean, the psychic seances and that sort of thing. No, don't really.
Chalmers, we're not so different to you.
But
we could have been friends.
I merely approach the world of spirits from a pragmatic perspective.
Together, they fight crime.
I've heard how you approach the world.
One's
of spirits.
A cross-dressing vicar. The other's a
fake medium.
You'd more annihilate one another than actually fight crime.
But nipped round the back with the polymade.
I'd love to have a chat with you sometime. But let me just fetch that book if I do have it.
Of course,
it will pop upstairs.
Well, I hope you made a good job of the search.
And there's a certain amount of rummaging noises from upstairs, perhaps of a slightly over enthusiastic. Energetic curate moving things around, and some rather heavy footsteps as he trumps back down. Here we are, you're out. And you have
How
received
did
a copy
I miss
of
that when I,
book. I have no reason to look at the random assortment of books he has. You have found
book, the curse of the Birkenhead.
The Case of the Birkenhead. I'm sorry. Only one of us.
Sorry.
Thank you.
We'll go ahead.
My dad's a scouser, so I'm quite about.
Yeah.
Is he? He hides it well.
He is, yeah.
I had no idea.
He's a distant relative of Scylla. Scylla White, as he knew, but Scylla Black, and she became famous.
After she sold her soul, then.
Unfortunately, it was bad timing on her box. Everybody moved to colour just after that.
The Curse of the Birkenhead, Leicester, Windward, 1857. This memoir, written by Quartermaster Augustus Fitzherbert, recounts the doom of the merchant ship Birkenhead and its crew. After two decades of successful voyaging, the Birkenhead seemed to be struck by a curse during a survey visit to the Americas in 1846. A strange fever or madness slowly crept through the crew and passengers, striking men down with nightmares and delusions that sometimes ended in fatal seizures.
Oh, goodness.
Some were sectioned while others perished in crazed brawls or hurled themselves overboard. Captain Lingham died in a fire sparked during a fit of madness. The ship's doctor and photographer, Henry Mablethorpe, could not prevent his own wife and children from succumbing one by one to lunacy. So we had to just throw him overboard. Mm. The curse affected replacement crew as well, and soon the ship's reputation made it a pariah. In 1852, the ship was scrapped.
What year are we? That's
66.
About 10 years ago. 66. Death as a compact volume for easy reading, bound in leather. The book features several plays. Am I dead from Liverpool? I'm quite entitled.
So why are you choosing to do a Czechoslovak accent?
The Mike Myers excuse doesn't hold any water.
Photographs of the crew and their travels, including Mablethorpe's family, the pictures are of excellent quality despite their age.
You know, it isn't in the West Midlands, don't you?
And yes, it is, but they are quite unusual. So it must have been a fairly pricey book.
I love how it started. This is a compact volume for easy reading bound in leather. And I'm just expecting it to go on to collect the entire series and get this handsome slipcase.
Probably still a little... Well, there is an asylum nearby. How far are we from... We're miles away from Birkenhead, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
But yes, that's nothing to do with the name of the ship. We're miles away from the sea, though, aren't we?
So, what I'm seeing here is that he has potentially read this book. Did the curate say he'd lent it to him, or
he not as far as he knows? No.
Okay, he could perhaps.
He hasn't lent it. He might have read it somewhere else.
Yeah,
Mablethorpe from around here.
It's within the realms of plausibility that he'd read this book, and then he had dreams about these incidents, but he doesn't seem to recall it as a book.
Now, was this a famous incident? Would we all have heard about it vaguely, or is this the first we're hearing of it?
I'm wondering whether you might have heard about it, maybe. Anyway,
I can crowbar a few stiffs into a cold reading. Sorry, I don't know where they came from. I mean, I am unnaturally attuned to the spiritual ripples, that's true.
I was just thinking you just read all the tosh that basically can be read for...
Anything that sounds vaguely.
With your occult, it might ring a bell because something it's vaguely. It's a vaguely weird kind of thing. Yeah, that's the kind of thing you.
I usually toss in that they dug up a mummy and that was on board and then it got transferred to the Titanic, even though no one's ever heard of that. Yeah.
Surely the Marie Celeste. Actually, again, they probably. Marie Celeste's after this?
It's later than you think,
the Mary Celeste, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was also.
I always used to think it was 1600s and it wasn't at all.
For another 10 years. 1872.
6 years, there should be some tickets left.
So.
This is how this adventure's going to end, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got. these stories of travels, you've got a few photographic plates of, place.
Mablethorpe was from round here or any? Just as an asylum nearby.
Would you like to look up Mablethorpe?
Well, not here, I suppose.
Yeah, so you probably need to find a candidate someone to do that.
Vicar wrestling, have we?
No, I mean, at least some of that was through the Birkin, but...
Interesting.
Well, actually, that slightly mixes my theory, because I was thinking of him... actually physically swapping places. That doesn't fit with this, because this was some years before, so it can't have been contemporary. Unless he travels in time. As well.
Oh, you were thinking he was actually sort of going to this other place on the same night he was imagining he was dreaming of it.
Yes.
He was actually remembering. Oh,
That's how he could describe an anteater so well. But if he's actually thinking of being on the Birkenhead, then we have to postulate temporal travel as well as spatial.
Alternatively,
in my experience, is much rarer.
Alternatively, you might have seen the picture.
He may have perhaps read the book. Perhaps
are you having a look at the pictures?
We will have a little flick.
I feel like as you mentioned them a few times, we should have a look at the pictures.
They
say in police.
Yeah,
interrogations,
they're fairly new.
Space. and they give things away themselves. I do that with GMs.
Okay.
Inserts still fairly new, but yeah, you do get them for things like travel books where people want to show off. Hey, look at this exciting thing we've discovered. Anyone got photography? Art photography?
God,
I suspect not. But
I've got any art. I've got art of writing. And yep. It may surprise you to hear I'm terrible at it.
It surprises me that you've got it. Presumed you used a ghostwriter.
Seem to be quite good photos. Presumably they might not have bothered including them if they weren't. Yeah.
It's 1866, nobody would know.
Mm-hmm. They were terrible. Doyle ones, you know.
Filled by the shittiest of fakes in this period.
Yeah, they're so bad. So bad.
Anything? It's just the family and the ship.
Many friends, the ship, scenes of their travels through
Manly,
the Americas.
Men.
And also, just double check that neither of these two actually dreamt of Phelps.
Whatever his name is.
Phipps. Is that Phipps?
The travels of the ship are specifically throughout.
Never went to Africa.
And the photographs.
But the African connection's farmed, isn't it?
Yes, I was just wondering if we could further our web of connections, but no.
Probably by talking to him.
Alright, well, did the Birkenhead get scuppered in the end? Is that what you said?
Yes,
saying?
It did. 1852.
The ship was scrapped.
So not scuppered.
Alright.
But it probably means all sorts of valuable fixtures and fittings are now fitted to other ships. But
Captain.
Potentially bits of it could end up in all sorts of places. It's truly cursed.
Captain, I'm going to go with you to start with.
Yeah.
Can you make me is it alertness?
Noticing stuff.
Alertness.
Yeah.
I've got alertness. Yes. I actually am not brilliant at it, but actually, saying that, I've rolled 33 under 40.
You have seen an awful lot of Union flags, Union Jacks, and similar, including there's some here on this in these photos. And you have probably seen photos with them on, because military things are some things that get photos. Mm-hmm. And you will be familiar with the phenomenon of you take a photo of something which has, unfortunately, a bright red patch in it, which obviously doesn't come out in photos. So it's a black. Your eye will naturally fall on the flag in a couple of these photos and go, there's a nice grey strip here. Bit of variation of grey shading in here.
Ah. So what would that mean?
Without anyone having any photography, it's a good photo, is probably what it means.
Thanks for bringing that up, Bershim. That's a big help there.
But there's something a little bit odd.
You're definitely like that. That's weird. That's definitely unusual. There's obviously something different. Maybe a difference in the photographic process.
And it's the
photographization process.
It's the
what a callback.
I've waited 15 years for that.
It's one of the pictures is different to all the others.
Nope. These pictures,
all of them,
are different from
other
photos you have seen, in the fact that things that should be red show up rather than being black. Obviously, they're still black and white, but...
Well, none of us know enough about photography to understand what that might mean.
You just think there may be better pictures.
It's interesting.
The thing is, photography is developing at quite a rate at this point.
It is indeed.
Well, yes, I don't know much about it, but if somebody had worked out how to make red show up, I would think they would be brooding it to the world.
Also worth noting, these are from the 1840s.
Okay.
When was Fox Talbot doing his stuff?
Photography, the 1840s. So if
so you're saying Captain
you would expect things to happen rapidly.
So I think these photos are... So I think these photos would have been cutting edge in the 1840s.
Oh, definitely at least cutting edge, yes.
They seem to be very good. Mm-hmm. And there's bits on them that I would expect to be black that aren't. So there's actually detail there that I wouldn't...
You would not expect them to be able to capture.
And yet nobody is making a fuss about this bloke. Nobody is saying, gosh, what a genius he was.
No.
There are ways of... accentuating the spiritual aspects of a photograph after it has been taken.
Well, you mean you reckon it's a fake?
I'm just saying, no, I mean, I've never seen
it. In all seriousness, Curate, I can't remember his name, Chambers, is it?
Chalmers. Judith. Think Judith.
Judith, okay, yeah. Jimbo and Judith Chalmers, what more do you want? there's a couple in there.
The case of the Accrington Banshee.
Judith, could we borrow the book? We will obviously take great care of it.
Very welcome, most welcome. Yes. Of course, I finished it. Interesting.
I think that was a good theory. What happened to this cursed ship, and where did the bits of the curse end up?
Mm.
All over the place. You need to find out what's in the house, don't you?
Yes. Could the curse have followed? They all went Looney Tunes. So.
It's early, but yeah.
Well, they all succumbed to lunacy, but it doesn't actually say that they actually were killed.
No, they were often
presumably died in
a facility.
I mean, yeah, so
nuts.
For nutters, and there is one just down the road.
Could this fireplace guard thing? Be made
Can
of
you
a...
just not say fire guard? Is it like a problem for you to put those particular two words together?
It doesn't seem right. Fire guard. All right.
As much use as a chocolate fire guard.
Yeah.
I can see.
Don't know why that came to mind.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I may have said that on one or two occasions.
Well, when we recombine with our other entities, we shall. I'm sorry.
He became just
very...
like a normal human.
I will posit. Benjamin suggests that I will bring up the fire guard, which is a normal word that people say.
Yes.
I'd like to examine it.
I'm not gaslighting you here.
No. Seriously, we used to have. Did you not have a coal fireplace?
No, because I was born in the 20th century.
Yes, so was I.
Oh, that's right. They've been done away with years before the 20th century.
I live in a house with many fireplaces. But I've never guarded myself from such a thing. Anyway, this so-called fire guard, does it look like it's come off a ship? Do they have fire guards on ships?
They don't have fire guards on ships.
Because they don't have fireplaces.
They don't have fireplaces on ships.
You'd have a stove instead.
Yeah, but does it look like it could have been fashioned from the keel bone of a ship or something similar?
Not obviously.
No.
Is it got wood in it?
Yes.
Maybe.
A lot of them would
just be a metal mesh screen.
There'll be a metal mesh screen on this.
A pattern on it, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be wood, it could be backed in leather. Yeah. There are all
what you've got, Nick, is basically a thing similar to the thing I just posted in Signal. But instead of having a fleur-de-lis on, someone has, it'll be obviously a bit more Victorian than that, someone has basically fastened a piece of African cloth over it to cover it.
Okay.
Perhaps a piece of cloth which was brought back and given someone who went, what am I supposed to do with this? I know, I'll make a fire guard.
That sort
of thing.
It doesn't look like this belongs on a ship.
I mean, that looks quite modern. I would have, the ones I've seen, which are earlier ones, kind of are modern, but they've got,
it's not actually
an African fire guard then.
No.
No, it's a fire guard covered in an African fabric. So, can we take it apart?
Clearly, the fabric has come from a witch doctor. And his essence has activated the curse in the fire guard, which was made of parts of the scuppered ship, the Birkenhead. That'll be £200, please.
Is it cloth and or is it a leather?
It if it wasn't for you meddling in
is it hide?
It'll be cloth.
It is cloth. It's not human skin. Check in.
She's terrible.
I just need to make a few small adjustments to this scenario. It wasn't human skin.
Yes, apologies.
So it's cotton.
I have to wrap up shortly.
Yeah, I'm losing that. Sorry, I'm.
Don't say the word.
I'm twitching a lot.
Well, yeah. I feel like we've pretty much solved it at this point.
I'm still all at sea.
So Nick, write down the fire guard in very large letters.
The fire guard is the shrunken down sail of the Birkenhead. They have witch doctors that can shrink heads. Why not sails from a boat?
Why not Birkenheads? It could be made. It could be the entire ship.
It could be the entire town.
The bottle city of Birkenhead.
And on that note,
I think that's probably.
Do we need another session, Jim? I think we've pretty much.
I think we probably do actually.
Yeah. Maybe one or two.
And we should all be bright and breezy in the next one as well. Absolutely. Yes, you know, we'll have had a bank holiday
Bank holiday.
Hello. Right.
Yeah. Have a lovely week, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and you for continued indulgence.
See you next time.
See you next week, then.
Indeed. Same bat time.
More chapters.
Same bat place. Cheers.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. See you all.
Bye, fellow entities.